In my head, I didn't really respect him because I had put the timeline together. You know, his daughter was a couple years older than me. My half brother, I found out, is only 6 months older than me. So that would mean that his wife was pregnant when him and my mom got together, and I was a result of that. So in my mind, I didn't respect him for what he had done to his family.
Hello, you are listening to NPE Stories. This is a podcast where NPEs can share their story. I am your host, Lily, and I found out I was an NPE through an ancestry DNA test that changed my life forever. NPE is a term that stands for not parent expected or non-paternal event. This means that one or more of our parents are not who we believe them to be. NPE Stories is a podcast where NPEs can share their story of what their original family was like, how they found out they were an NPE, and what their journey has been like since the day they found out. Welcome to episode 182, and I just got over 500,000 downloads for NPE Stories. I was checking the stats, and it's at about 503,000 downloads. So that tells me that there are a lot of people out there with DNA surprises. Thank you for listening. And a special shout out to a new devotee to my Patreon page. Her name is Tila Penter. Tila, thank you so much. I have a Patreon. If you go to patreon.com and type in NPE Stories, I do accept donations for producing this podcast. Thank you to those of you that contribute. It means so much to me. Also, I have a weekly resource for you. I was listening to a podcast this morning. It's called On Adoption, The Making of Me, and it's hosted by two adult adoptees. Their names are Sarah Reinhardt and Louise Brown, and they give a perspective of adoptive stories through the eyes of adult adoptees. But it's a little different than the way the media tends to portray stories about adoption. These are really personal conversations that they have every episode, and I really enjoyed listening to it. You know, there's a lot of overlap between the adoption world and NPEs. We both have to deal with reaching out to biological family members, possibly dealing with rejection, and the anxiety that comes with that. So I was getting a lot out of listening to this podcast. Again, it's called On Adoption, The Making of Me. And the hosts, Sarah Reinhardt and Louise Brown, they were both adopted during the baby scoop era. And so it's really interesting the conversations that they have with fellow adoptees. So take a listen to that. You can find On Adoption, The Making of Me, on all of the podcasting apps. And today we are going to get into an NPE story, and we're actually speaking with one of my friends. Today I am speaking with Allie. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Lily.
So good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, it's been over a year now since I think the last meeting we had together.
You moved away. Miss you.
I know. I miss you guys so much. I saw you guys got together recently, and I was so sad I couldn't be there, but I'm so happy for you guys that you're going to keep it going.
I know. We got together on Sunday. Someone planned it at a local brewery, and I know I'm going to get messages and emails about it, so I'm just going to right away say that I just happened to be part of a Facebook NPE group, and there was a sub-regional Minnesota group within that. And someone just kind of threw together a local meetup. Feel free in your own state to take that idea and run with it and do it yourself. Allie, you were that person a couple years ago that you made it happen. You posted about it to NPEs and you were like, here's the place, here's the time, show up if you want.
Yeah, I was only a few months out from my discovery, and I just was dying for in-person interaction with people going through the same thing. So you guys showed up at the time I needed you most, and it really changed my experience and my journey. And I was so lucky to meet you and other people that were there. We still keep up with each other on Facebook, which is really nice.
I know. Well, thank you for doing that. Like, we need people like you to just take initiative. And I should mention, you were, you know, I feel like you were a younger person. And I mean that just because I was so like impressed and inspired, you know, to say, okay, strangers, I don't know you, but let's just meet. And and it happened. We need community. We really do.
Yeah, I definitely do a lot better with in-person conversation with things. So I've tried, relocated to St. Louis, Missouri, and I've tried to find more NPEs in the St. Louis area. So if there are any out there and would like to plan a meetup, I think I know of one other person, but there's not as many, I think, down here. So
If
anybody out there is listening, that would be just contact me and maybe we can get something going again.
Okay, St. Louis NPEs or Missouri NPEs, get in touch with Allie after this. You guys can plan a meetup there as well. I love that idea.
Yeah, thank you.
And you have some updates. Congratulations. You just got married.
Yeah, thank you. Oh my gosh. It's been a whirlwind of a year and married to the man of my dreams. And it was it was the best day of my life. So yeah, I might cry just thinking about it. It was great.
I have the hugest smile on my face. You were the most beautiful bride. I saw your photos on social media. Oh, it looked lovely.
Thank you. Yeah, it was just perfect. Everybody came through and it was just, I showed up, he showed up. We did it. It was great.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thanks. Okay, so do you still have family back here in Minnesota?
No, I actually didn't have any family there. We moved for my husband's job originally.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Okay, so you were probably going to stay now in St. Louis, perhaps.
Yeah. Okay. For the foreseeable future.
Yeah, that's what you call home now. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, let's get into your story today. I would like you to start with who was in your raising family and tell me a little bit about your childhood.
Yeah, so I was raised in the suburbs of St. Louis, Missouri. I lived with my younger sister. She's about 16 months younger than me, and my mom and dad. Up until the time I was 9 or 10, my parents divorced, and then I lived separate with my mom and dad. We spent half our time at our mom's and half at our dad's.
How was your relationship with I'm assuming it was your birth certificate father and your mom growing up? Mm-hmm.
It was, I like to describe my childhood as, I would say, chaotic, a lot of ups and downs. There were good times and there were a lot of bad times. It was a lot of, my parents, I grew up, they never really expressed love for each other that I never saw. There was a lot of fighting and financial issues. They did love us and they did try to be good parents and were always there for us, but it was just a lot of tension, a lot of fighting. My mom was pretty unhappy. And then ultimately my dad was unhappy because my mom was unhappy. So they actually both met while they were working at this marketing company here. My dad worked in one building and my mom worked across the highway in the other building. And they both actually worked in the same department. And when I was 5, they both got let go at the same time. Like, they just dissolved the whole department. So my parents both lost their jobs at the same time. And I think that kind of was a catalyst for part of their divorce. My dad ended up opening his own company, like freelance graphic design company. And he would go out of town a lot on work trips. My mom would work a lot. We didn't really have any other family close by. It was just in Kansas City. My mom's family was from there. So they were about 4 hours away. That was the closest family that we had. And then my dad's family was all in Georgia. So I kind of longed for my cousins and just close family. So we would make friends and just spend a lot of time with friends really growing up whenever we could. But I was really close with my dad when I was younger. We would have a lot of conversations. I would ask him a lot of the questions, that kids ask their parents of the world, all the deep conversations, learning about things. And I don't know, we just had this closeness to us that was really comforting. So it was just really special. And I would be really upset when he would go out of town on work trips because my mom would also be pretty unhappy. And I just missed my dad. And my relationship with my mom was I would say complicated. When I was a kid, she was, like I've said a few times, she was pretty unhappy. And I think she kind of saw a lot of her value and her worth from men. She would have like a lot of guy friends who I later figure out were men that she was seeing. You know, whenever my dad was out of town, we would go and like hang out with her guy friends. And she would stay out late at night sometimes. And we wouldn't really know for sure what she was doing, but we had a feeling. And my dad never really like addressed it. It was just a strange environment to grow up in. I feel like I had to kind of be an adult kind of quickly. I was an older sister, so I had to look out for my younger sister a lot. And I don't think she actually remembers a lot of the things that happened when we were kids, which I'm glad she doesn't, because it was kind of rough. But my mom had a lot of anger issues, and she would take it out a lot on me and my sister, just like yelling and a lot of, I'll call it verbal abuse and emotional abuse.
It's hard to talk about a complicated relationship with a parent, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if you're afraid they're going to hear or listen.
Yeah. It's an ever evolving relationship with her. So, and I want it to be good. So we're in a different place than we were even like a year ago. So I try not to, I don't want to speak too poorly of her, because I also have empathy for what she's been through. And like, she's an older generation. I mean, you know, they're like baby boomers essentially. So I'm not going to say all baby boomers are like this, but like, both of my parents have a hard time like talking about the things that they've been through and mental health. And, you know, they just don't acknowledge it really. I mean, my dad will acknowledge his depression and things, but my mom is just different. And I know she endured a lot as a child as well. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think I understand why she's done all the things that she's done. And it doesn't make her a better like person in my eyes, I guess. I just feel sorry for her. And I still want to have a relationship with her. I think she feels remorse for the things that she's done, and she's apologized. So anyway, it's complicated.
Yeah.
And I think I in turn also had a complicated relationship with men when I was younger, because that's what I saw growing up. I thought that cheating on your significant other was okay. I never did that with my husband that I have now. Like, I think he's like an angel. I don't know what he's done to me, but I'm just like, I just feel so secure and safe with him that it's just the insecurity, I think, is what my mom has. And that's what I had. And once I realized that's what it was, then I didn't let it take over me anymore.
Did you ever have any warning signs that you were an NPE when you were younger?
I always had a feeling that there was something off about our family. I never thought there was something off about me. But maybe I always did feel like isolated myself from the rest of my family. Like, my sister often had more close relationships with my parents than I did, and I didn't really understand that. And I would distance myself and seek out my friends' families and try to hang out with them more than my own family. There were times where I would like look at pictures of my dad when he was younger and like try to see my face in his face. And I never did that with my mom, because everybody always said I looked like my mom, but I was like, but I need to look like my dad too, right? But nothing like explicit really. Like, I just felt like something was randomly off about us, but I didn't know what it was. And I actually have an entry in my journal from when I've written in diaries like my whole life, and I have an entry from when I was like 22, and it was like, I will not speak to my parents again until they tell me what they're hiding from me. Like, it was something really dark and like sad, kind of like that. It was just like, I'll never speak to them again until they tell me what's wrong with us, like what's going on. And that was before my discovery. So it was just kind of like, I knew there was something. I just hadn't really like known exactly, but I thought I was my dad's kid.
When did you find out you were an NPE?
I found out February of 2021. I was still living in Minnesota, obviously. And I just randomly took a test because somebody, a coworker of mine, was telling me about his ethnicity on there. And I thought that was really cool. So I did it without even knowing there was the DNA relatives part. Like, I had no idea you could see that you were related to somebody on there. And when I got the results, I saw that I was like 73% British and Irish and like 25% German. And I thought that was kind of strange, but also was like, I don't really know where I came from. So I don't know. And then I flip over to the DNA relatives tab and I see a name that I've never heard of before. And it says biological father underneath it. And then underneath him, it said another name I'd never seen before, a woman, half sister. And then another one that was a first cousin with the same last name as the other two. So three people that I had no idea who they were, saying I was related to them. And so I think my initial feelings that I had was, oh, this is what I've been looking for. Like, this is what I had kind of put the feeling to rest for a long time of, like, what's missing, like, what's going on in my family, like, you know, just kind of moved on with my life. But at that moment, I was like, this is what I was looking for. And this makes sense now, but also, like, this can't be happening. just pure, like, panic and anger and, like, oddly enough, relief all at the same time. And thankfully, it was during COVID times, and my husband was my boyfriend at the time, actually. He was home and was able to, like, console me a little bit, but I was freaking out. And immediately, I texted my mom, and I was like, I need to talk to you, like, whenever you can, call me. And so I didn't hear from her for a few hours because I think she was working, but I ended up looking him up, my biological father, online. And found that his Facebook said that he lives in St. Louis and just a picture of blurry picture of a guy. And then I found his LinkedIn and it said that he worked at the same place that my parents worked at in the 80s and 90s. So the same time that they were there in St. Louis. So that pretty much confirmed that it was real for me. I found his daughter on Facebook and found a bunch of pictures of him and her. I was in such shock. I was just like trying to take in as much information as I could. And it was probably too much in that moment, but I didn't know what else to do. And I eventually realized that his last name, I knew a guy that was the same like age and grade as me, who was friends with like some of my boyfriends that I had during high school. He went to like the rival high school in my town. And he is my half brother. I figured that out. So I was like, oh, I know my half brother. Yeah. And I found him on Facebook and I realized that I guess I had probably like unadded him or he had unadded me at some point. Cause I remember being friends with him on Facebook and I've since then found like posts of mine that he has liked in the past or like commented on or something. So we have definitely met in person at some point when we were young. I just don't really remember.
Wow. You're talking about your half brother?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is so weird that you've been Facebook friends.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just kind of also shocking. And I was like, this guy, he doesn't really look like me. And thank God, you know, that like our paths didn't cross differently. We interacted more. Cause I dated guys that he, you know, played sports with and went to school with all of his life. So, you know, that can be really scary.
Yes.
To think about.
Did you reach out to your biological family?
I waited about a month or so. I actually just left myself like visible on 23andMe to see, you know, if they would see that. Cause it had said that my biological father and half sister were active in the last week when I had originally logged in and found all this out. So I was like, well, maybe they'll see me again. So I just kind of left it for a little bit and I ended up talking to my mom and tried to get her story. And basically I was reading through, like, I was trying to get in as much information as I could about what people do in this situation. And there wasn't really actually a ton out there other than some of the Facebook groups. And so I found one of the groups and they said, like, people had been sending letters to their biological fathers because you don't know if they're going to respond or see it on the internet or social media. So I found his address and I sent like a certified letter so that I knew he got it, you know, that he received it. Cause I knew I just couldn't live with not knowing if he'd gotten my message or something, you know, just having it out there in the world. So the day that he got my letter, I was actually like, I was on a trip in San Diego with a friend and I didn't think he would respond so fast. He texted me the day that he got the letter. And he was basically like, I know this is, a big deal right now. And there's a lot to process and talk about. And I know you need to know a lot of information, but I just wanted to ask you if you would hide yourself on 23andMe, delete your profile so that my daughter doesn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he said something like, I understand that's insensitive, but it will drastically impact my life. And this was just like a string of texts that you'd sent. And I'd said back, like, only, yeah, I'll think about it. We'll talk later. Basically, I will do it if you promise to tell them eventually, your kids. That was like the first interaction that we had, because that was in my head, I didn't really respect him because I had put the timeline together. You know, his daughter was a couple years older than me. My half brother, I found out, is only 6 months older than me. So that would mean that his wife was pregnant when him and my mom got together. Mm-hmm. And I was a result of that. So in my mind, I didn't respect him for what he had done to his family. And I know that probably wasn't fair, but I tried to do the right thing by contacting him first. Or what I thought was the right thing, when really I just wanted to interact with the siblings. Looking back on it now, it just is like, I was so naive feeling back then that anybody would have like a positive interaction or like feeling about me coming into their life. because now it's just kind of all fallen apart with them. So I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. Anyway, that was my first interaction with my biological father. And we ended up like texting a lot after that. We messaged on Facebook actually probably for a couple months. And I had asked him a couple times to meet up. He finally agreed. We met in person in the May following after my discovery, which was in February. And it was great. It was really strange. And it was really, I don't know, it was just like really eye-opening and gave me a lot of closure in a way, even though it was so soon after my discovery. It was just meeting him in person. We shared so many of the same like mannerisms. And like I get my like bone structure from him, basically. It was just really interesting of a day. Very emotional. We talked a lot about the situation. I had found out that he was adopted when he was 3. And so we kind of related in a way like that. But he often talked about like how he didn't really want to know his biological family, his parents, and his adoptive parents were all he ever needed. And he was never really interested in knowing his family. He just wanted medical information. You know, I felt differently about my experience. And he would say like, oh, this is like such a like similar experience that we're both having. And I was like, well, not really. Like, you knew you were adopted, mm-hmm, since you were, you know, 3. And I'm just now finding out at the age of when I was 27. So this is a bit different, but okay. I don't know. In some ways, he tried to be empathetic and understand my situation, but also was like, your parents are the ones that raised you. I'm your biological parent, but I'm not your father, basically. Mm-hmm. And I don't really still understand like what any of his intentions were from the beginning.
Wow. He was making it clear to you, Allie, that he was not going to be your father.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. In a not very nice way.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, whenever he would talk about his kids, he would be very, like, guarded about them, I guess, and acting like he needed to protect them from the situation, which he actually said verbatim was that I need to protect the well-being of my children and my grandchildren. When I asked him a few times to tell them or when he was going to tell them. So that kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah. That is so hurtful.
Yeah, it was. I felt like, first of all, like my dad was being taken away from me in a way that to people on the outside that don't go through this, like don't understand like what we get kind of what I felt like I was robbed of. I wanted to be my dad's kid. And I know I am, but I just like looked up to him. I still do. I look up to him so much and we're so close and we're closer, you know, than we've ever been. And I don't know, I guess maybe it is just for the best that my biological father is this way. And I was given the dad that I was given. And I am grateful for that, but it is really hard to come to terms. I'm sorry. I always get emotional when I talk about my dad.
Of course.
I've always like felt this need to protect my dad because, you know, he's always been kind of this sensitive, emotional, like art, like he's an artist. I think he is. And he has such a creative mind. And I really look up to him for that because I think in our community growing up, like that, you know, those can be kind of seen as different kind of people. And he was just shy. And I don't know, I've just always felt this need to protect him. And then when this happened, it just felt like I couldn't protect him anymore from this. It was just, I don't know. Sorry.
No, that's so sad.
And I think that's what also made me angry at my biological father is that you knew that my mom was married to my dad and, you know, you still did this. And that part makes me angry too. So I don't know, for some reason I take it out more on my biological father, I think because that's what I can control because he's already kind of rejected me. Time went on and I got a little impatient with him not telling his kids. It actually took him a few months to tell his wife. And he is not married to their mother, my biological father. He is married to a woman. He got married to her a couple of years ago, I think. So to me, that was a bit of a red flag that he didn't tell his wife. And then eventually he said he did. And then eventually he said he told his ex-wife, his children's mother. So I thought that was interesting. Basically, 6 months after I found out, I had formulated a whole like message that I was going to send to my half siblings. I basically like asked him one more time if and when he was going to do it. And he like, you know, said something about putting it off. Like, I will do it when I feel the time is right. I was just like, I'm basically in my head, I was like, I'm done. So I sent the message to my half siblings to let them know. And it was a pretty neutral message, I felt, just basically just giving them the information and just short and sweet. And like, I'm so sorry that this is happening. But I felt you deserve the right to know. So I never heard back from them. I know that they got my message because my biological father told me, and then he blocked me on social media. Wow. And then later on unblocked me. And it's really complicated. It's been really back and forth. He sends a lot of really like strange messages, or he used to, just like saying like, I have empathy for you, but you need to be, you know, we need to understand the consequences of our actions. Saying things like that. And I was like, wow, kettle black. Yeah, he's just kind of ridiculous. I honestly, like, I don't even remember verbatim some of the words because I don't look back at his messages anymore because when I do, I just get so angry.
Yep.
But I think he just felt like he couldn't fully take accountability for what he did, even though in the beginning he did. You know, in his first messages, he's like, I'm pretty much ashamed of like what I did. I had this affair and all this stuff, but you came of this and you were made with love and all this stuff. But telling his kids was just like where the line was drawn. So I don't know. I assume, and I've worked with my therapist talking to her a lot about this, is that maybe their relationship was already a bit rocky, his relationship with his kids. Mm. He even had told me that his son and him, like his son was pretty angry at him when him and his wife, ex-wife divorced. So I don't know. I don't know their history. I don't know much about it, but.
Mm. He sounds a bit controlling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, that's how his relationship was with my mom. You know, my mom, who was like young, and she's probably like 6 or 7 years younger than him. No, probably 7 or 8. And at the time, she was probably like 28, 29 when she met him, and still, you know, seeking attention from men. And he was this older, you know, more, I don't know, he was good with his words kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know it was consensual. It was a consensual relationship, but I could just see this relationship being played out in a way where he was just taking advantage of her. He was a married man with a, you know, with baby on the way or baby, whatever. And she was just a young single gal when they met. And then, you know, when she realized that he wouldn't leave his wife for her is when she married my dad. So
she married your dad after her affair with your birth father?
Yeah. And the affair continued through the marriage until I was conceived, because they married in 90 and I was born in early 93.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was a several year long affair.
Wow.
Yeah.
And yet he really wants to blame your birth father, that is, really wants to blame you, it seems like, for finding out about this.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
which you've done nothing wrong.
No, no. I mean, some days I do kick myself sometimes for reaching out to the half siblings, but I think they were going to find out eventually, no matter what. And yeah. maybe it was better for him that it did come from me. Because he can, I don't know, make me look like a bad person, I guess.
Yeah. Now it's like they can blame you in their little family unit.
Yeah.
For their, in some sick way.
Yeah. I don't know the siblings at all. Like, they could be good people at their core, but they've never responded to me or acknowledged me at all. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't even block me. So it was probably the most, like, I mean, it's not the most hurtful way that somebody can reject you, but it's just basically like, I don't, like, they just didn't acknowledge me. I don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that felt. And sometimes I'm like, maybe it would have been better if they just at least said something, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's so strange when you have these messages out to the half siblings. I mean, I'm just nodding along because that's my story too. I've never heard from my half sister, half brother. I also had a birth father who didn't want me to reach out to them. He wanted to control it in his mm-hmm. time. So I totally get it. Like, that's,
yeah.
Oh, what a terrible situation for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thank you.
Did you ever get a chance to talk with your birth certificate father about this?
Yeah. So it was like this, maybe 4 or 5 months after I found out. I had been thinking about it for a while and talking with my therapist, and she was like, you know, there might be a chance that he knows. And I was like, there's no way. And I end up like reaching out to him. I called him one day and I said, he's like, Dad, do you remember when I told you I was going to take 23andMe tests? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, well, do you know why I'm calling you about this right now? And he said, yeah. And I said, how long have you known? And he said, since I was like 5 years old. And It was a very emotional phone call. It was strange how I had told him that I was taking the test and he didn't say anything then. And I don't know. I think a part of him was still not 100% sure that I wasn't his kid. He knew because he had gotten a letter when I was, around like 5 years old. Basically, it was written, had like three initials at the bottom, like three people. And it said, basically, like, your wife has been running around with my bio father. And we just wanted to let you know what kind of woman she is. And she's been telling people at work that Allison, they called me Allison in the letter, that's my full name. Allison is bio father's kid. And it was just like basically saying all this drama that had happened at their work and how so many other people were involved. And my mom was having affairs with all these other people there. And we just thought you should know. So.
Wow.
Yeah, it was intense. And later on, like after I had known about the letter because my dad had told me that he had gotten one about my mom's affairs, but he never had mentioned before that it had anything about my biological father in it. One day I called him after we had like had our conversation, like about how he knew. And, he had told me like, you'll always be my daughter and it doesn't matter. I called him and I said, Dad, can you tell me anything more about what this letter says? Like, how did you know all this stuff? And he's like, sure. Do you want me to just read it to you? And I was like, what the heck? Okay. You still have it after all these years? And he's like, yeah. And then he reads off the whole thing to me. And then I think it was a few months later, I end up going out there and I was like, can I just have this letter? Because I was like so fixated on all the details of my discovery and all the drama back when this was going on. So my dad and I talk about it sometimes. Still, he knew my bio father because they worked together, and he had suspected that him and my mom were having an affair. He said little things would happen, like they were at like a holiday work party, and my mom like stormed out, and my bio father was like, he had been drinking, and he was just like yelling at my mom. Wow. And my birth certificate father was like witnessing all of this. It's like, I think he always knew. I don't know. Their marriage was just really strange to me. I don't really understand it.
I can tell how much your dad means to you and how much you care about him. And you also mentioned previously you want a good relationship with your mom. Mm-hmm. How did that go with your mom, or how is that now?
It was pretty rocky at first. I was pretty mad. At first she denied knowing. She said she always thought that I was my dad's kid. And I just didn't believe that. You look at me and you look at my younger sister, who I verified because, she looks just like my dad when he was younger, or at least like her kid pictures did. So I verified, like they both took the ancestry test and there she is, my birth certificate's daughter. If you look at me and my sister, we do not like look anything alike. I'm like tall and I'm like 5'9" and I have dark curly hair and I have like a long face, and like my sister is probably like 5'5", blonde hair, just like more rounder face. And people always said like that they asked if my sister was adopted, mm-hmm. which is ironic now. But my mom denied it at first and I was pretty mad at her about that. And about lying. And basically, at first she had told me that they had only been together once. That was all, as long as their affair lasted. But then when I talked to my bio father, he said it lasted years. So there was one lie there. It was just like she kept trying to make it seem like it wasn't as big of a deal in the beginning. And then as I like just like hacked away at it over the months and now the years, I've finally like got most of the details from her. So I actually cut off all contact with her for a month or so. Actually, it was a few months in the beginning. And that was really hard because it's not like I didn't really want that.
Yeah.
And I was already living so far away and it was the pandemic and my sister kind of had to play, you know, this role that she probably didn't want to play, where I wasn't putting her in between me and my mom, but I was like, please don't like tell mom about my life right now. I don't want her to know. Like, I don't think she deserves to know what's going on in my life. Mm-hmm. But eventually I talked to her a few times over the phone. And then eventually when I moved back, we sat down. When I moved back to St. Louis, we sat down and I told her the entire story from my end. And I asked her questions and I think she answered them honestly. And it was really emotional because I could feel like her shame. And she kept saying, I was so stupid back then, but I'm so glad that I had you. And, you know, she admitted all that she did wrong by being with him and having the affairs. And I think for me, just sitting and listening, for her to sit and listen to my story, and that just meant a lot, and to apologize. And I showed her pictures like of my grandmother and stuff, and I don't know, that just meant a lot, I think. And we've worked on our relationship since then. She lets me, you know, talk about it occasionally. Not lets me, but, you know, she listens. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We still get together for the holidays and I still go out to her house, and she was a part of my wedding. I really needed her there for that. So I don't know. It's so hard to explain.
Right. It is. No, but you're making total sense, Allie.
Thanks.
You have had to go through a lot, and I know you have found community. At least you did here in Minnesota, and I hope you get to in St. Louis, and I'm sure an online NPE community. I see you active. I see you responding and posting in the NPE mm-hmm. forums.
Yeah.
It sounds like you've had a therapist along the way. Tell me about your healing. What have you done? What's worked for you? What hasn't?
Yeah. I think time has been the best thing. It really, really sucked because it was just so painful for so long. But yeah, the groups and therapy and just like straight up just talking about it to anybody that'll listen. There's been like, in the beginning, I just would blurt out my story to anybody that would listen. And I soon learned over time, like there are certain people who just make you feel worse
yes.
about it.
Yep.
And it's really hard to know who's going to be that person. So I definitely don't tell my story as often anymore. But there's been a few people out there who just like completely validated me, and they have not even been in this situation. And just talking to those people has just meant the world. And even talking within our community and our group and other people. I'm actually in one of the millennial NPE groups. It doesn't get super active, but at times it's nice to like talk to or with other people who are about the same age, because our parents still have pretty clear memories of what happened, and everybody is like, it's just a weird, I feel like a lot of the NPE community is a lot of like older people. There's not a lot of younger people like my age.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I kind of struggle with. Yeah. But like just knowing that there's other people my age out there that are going through it, that helps too. So, and my husband is amazing, and he knows that when I'm in a mood and I am upset about it, and he lets me just talk about it, and he listens, and he gets it, I guess, for somebody who's not been through this. So,
and you're newlyweds. What? How long have you been married now?
2 months today. Oh, I just realized that.
That's so sweet. 2 months. You have to do something special tonight.
I'll treat him to a dinner or something.
Oh, you're especially going to have to do something nice for yourself after going through this. I know rethinking about this and talking about it, it can be emotionally exhausting.
Yeah. When you go from thinking about it every single moment of every single day for years, and then just recently I've been able to go like a day or two without even thinking about it, which is nice, but
yeah. Yes, I know. Isn't that great when you're like, wow, I haven't thought about this in like 3 days. That's amazing.
We could have kept the streak going, but now I've thought about it again.
Yep. And I want that link for the, I'm assuming it's a private group for NPEs, but if you wouldn't mind sending me the Millennial NPE group, yeah. or telling, what, can you find it on Facebook probably?
Yeah. But actually, I think it's through like the original NPE friends or whatever. Group,
oh, okay.
That big one.
All right. So it's one of their subgroups.
Yeah. Yep. And it's not like super active, but I don't know, even just reading through other millennial, like people our ages posts and stuff has been really helpful, because it sounds like a lot of the situations are very similar. People react in similar ways, which is interesting.
And what you mentioned earlier about when you tell your story and, you know, sometimes people are not supportive, but occasionally finding someone, even a non-NPE, just like a normal person who's so validating, that just means the world, right? It's like, oh, thank you. Thank you for listening and understanding. Yes, I've had a few of those, and I've had a lot of non-supportive listeners as well.
Yeah, I have to like stop myself from like just, I don't know, I get like a little bit angry when they're like, but your dad is your dad.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I just shut it down and I'm just like, let's change the subject. It's not worth it anymore.
I have some, you know, non-NPE friends that I've said I've had a podcast. I don't even want to tell them about it because I've gotten so many responses, just dismissive. And I'm just like, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
That's awful. I'm so sorry.
So Allie, if people wanted to contact you directly, could they do that?
Yeah. You can find me on Facebook. My name is Allie Copeland, C-O-P-E-L-A-N-D. You can add me and shoot me a message. I have an Instagram. It's at Allie Towel. It's A-L-Y-T-O-W-E-L. It's because my last name was Allie Nowell. That's my maiden name. It was just something goofy I came up with when I was younger. And I think if you have email and you want to shoot me an email, my email is Allison, M as in Mary, Nowell at gmail.com. So it's A-L-Y-S-O-N-M-N-O-W-E-L-L at gmail.com.
I will put in all the links to get in touch with Allie below. If you scroll down, it will be in the show description. And Allie, you really just deserve like a great rest of your day, because you did a really good thing today bringing this up, thinking about it all again and talking about it. And thank you so much for being you and for sharing your story today. I just appreciate you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you for being such a light in this community. And even in person, you are just, I don't know, you are like an angel and I just adore you. So thank you so much for everything that you do. And I'm so happy to know you.
These stories are here for us to identify with. If you are an NPE and would like to share your story, email npestories@gmail.com. You do not have to give any identifying information. If you are an NPE and would like to share your story, I'd like to hear from you. Subscribe to this podcast to hear more. Come heal with us.